you to turn this morning to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We have been kind of on a rabbit trail here for a little bit with all that's going on in the world. Many people are wondering, what does the Bible have to say? And what should we be looking for? Are we looking for signs? Are we looking for the end times? What's going on here? And so we've been talking about that a little bit, giving some attention to what the Bible says about the future. And so we've seen that there are, in the Bible, certain conditions that are going to be true at the end of the church age. And the Apostle Paul writes about those in 1 and 2 Timothy. Things are going to be true in the last days. And the conditions that we'll see, we've seen that there's going to be a moral and a doctrinal apostasy that is taking place, increasingly so. And we've also seen that the church should be looking for not necessarily signs which are given to Israel. There are signs that are predicted in the Bible, especially in the Olivet Discourse, Matthew 24. And we've seen that those are really in reference to Israel in the future time period and tribulation. But what should the church be looking for in these times? Well, the New Testament instructs the church to be looking for not signs, but instead the coming of the Lord. James chapter 5 instructs us about that, to be looking for the judge. The judge is at the door. That's the next event. And we've also addressed the question that some may be thinking, did we miss the rapture? And is this actually the tribulation? And we looked at the promise of Revelation chapter 3, verse 10, where we have that promise to be kept from a future temptation and to be kept from that specific time of temptation. And it's also coupled with a promise to be delivered by Jesus' coming, which seems to be, in that passage, the rapture, not the coming after the tribulation in that context. And then we've looked here at 1 Thessalonians 5, most recently, where Paul reminds the believers about the day of the Lord. And this was several weeks ago. We were off on another rabbit trail in the past few weeks, looking at God's sovereignty over the nations. But in this passage here, remember, the Apostle Paul is reminding the believers about the day of the Lord. And he says, you already know about this. You have been taught about this, they knew about it. Perhaps they knew about it better than we know about it. Being Jewish believers, maybe very much familiar with that concept in the Old Testament, which occurs over 70 times in the Old Testament. And we saw that day of the Lord is not just a 24-hour day. Remember, it's different from the Lord's day. That's something different. But the day of the Lord is a period of time beginning with the tribulation and running through the millennium. And it's a period of time, a large segment of future history. The Old Testament especially predicts it's a time of judgment, but also a time of blessing. And that period of time is coming in the future. And in this passage, we see the impact of the day of the Lord, and this is all by way of review, okay? But just notice here in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 1, but of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. And so you remember, one of the things that kind of led us into this is the things we were seeing about the Abraham Accords, I think they were being called, in Israel. And President Trump, of course, he was having a big hand in that. All these peace agreements with these Arab nations, and more to come, perhaps. And so we're thinking, you know, what's going on with that? Well, in fact, we do see that there seems to be, at the beginning of the tribulation, something similar. Are we saying that's the tribulation? No, but it does remind us that in the future time, that tribulation period begins with a covenant that is confirmed with Israel. That's in Daniel chapter 9. We looked at that. Here, it seems to be perhaps a reference to that, when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them. It impacts the world by surprise, the day of the Lord. They're thinking everything's fine, there's peace. But then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light, and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of the darkness. And so we saw the difference of the impact for church saints here. We saw the impact of the day of the Lord on the world. It's going to be unexpectedly. It hits them. But there's a difference for the church saints. Why? Because of who they are, because of their nature. Ye are children of the light and children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of the darkness. And there's a great difference with believers, with the church. And a lot of that has to do, I think, with the fact that the rapture has already taken place. And this is totally different for believers and how it impacts them. And then so we come down to the next verses here. That's what I want to emphasize here in these remaining minutes that I have here. What should we do in light of the day of the Lord? And I want to focus in on two commands here. Notice verse 6. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, for an helmet the hope of salvation. Two duties here I want us to look at. First of all, be watchful. Be watchful. What does it mean to be watchful? Well, here in this passage, it's defined by the opposite of watchfulness here, which is in verse 6, and that is sleeping. Let us not sleep as do others, but instead, the opposite is be watchful. Of course, the sleep here is not talking about literal sleep, but sleep in the Bible is a picture of just carelessness and indifference to spiritual things. Another commentator has defined it as just spiritual laxity or insensibility. And that is really where the world is. That's where the unsaved person is right now. They could care less. They're completely indifferent to the spiritual things, to what God has planned for the future. It's not on their radar at all. They're just pretty much asleep to it. And that's the opposite, of course, of what we should be. We should watch. What does it mean to be watch? Well, it means, of course, to be awake, to be alert. And again, the idea is not literal here. Of course, we should be awake this morning. I trust you all are. I know it's difficult sometimes, but to be spiritually awake is the idea. Spiritual alertness, the opposite of the world. The world is indifferent. The world doesn't care. They could care less about what the Bible says about their souls, about eternity. But it's much different for the believer. We should care. We should have an alertness here. In the Bible, we have basically two or more, perhaps, but two areas in which we should watch and be alert. And one is what Jesus says to the disciples in Matthew 26, there in the Garden of Gethsemane. He cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, what could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And so one area of watchfulness has to do with spiritual battle. Area of temptation here. Of course, the disciples, they did fall asleep, literally. But Jesus takes that opportunity to warn them here to be alert to temptation, to the possibility of temptation. And so, you know, we need to make sure that we're alert to that possibility. How do we do that? How do we be alert? How can we be alert to the possibility of falling into temptation? Well, you know, we need to recognize that we are weak. You know, we're not immune to sin. You know, we've not gotten past sinning. You know, we still have a flesh. We still have a pull there. We're not immune to it. We need to recognize the enemy, Satan, and his power and influence is there. And he wants our weakness to be exploited. And so we need to be alert to that possibility of temptation. And then, of course, there's a need for watchfulness in light of the coming of Christ. Another passage in Revelation, there in Revelation 3, verse 2, a message to the church at Sardis. The Lord says, be watchful. There's that word again, watchful. Watch, be alert. Strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If, therefore, thou shalt not watch, I will come upon thee as a thief. Thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. So the church in Sardis was in danger of being like the world will be when the day of the Lord hits. The rapture will catch them totally off guard. Instead, the Lord says, be alert to my coming. Watch. Now, that doesn't mean that, you know, we're outside every day, we're looking in the sky. Of course, you could do that, I'm sure. But watchfulness is alertness to the very real possibility that the Lord could come at any time. That's watchfulness, being alert to that. How can we have that attitude in light of the coming of Christ, the rapture? Well, you know, we're coming up to the time where we think about the pilgrims, and you know, they got that name because they had this attitude, where they knew that they were just strangers in the world, and they were just passing through. They're on a journey, and that's the same attitude we need to have: an attitude of watchfulness, recognizing that things are coming to a conclusion for us. We're passing through this world. Things are not just going to go on and on. Things are going to change drastically. And the events of this past year are a reminder to us of that. That, you know, this is just kind of a little taste, perhaps. I don't know that I would call it a sign, but perhaps just a little taste of what it's going to be like in the tribulation. Things are going to drastically change. Worldwide events on a great scale. And we need to recognize that things are not just going to go on and on. And then also, as we think about the coming of the Lord, we need to recognize our accountability to the Lord. The Lord is going to come back. We're going to stand before Him. We're going to give an account for the things that we've done. The judge is at the door. And that's what it means. That's part of what it means to be alert. To recognize that time is coming. And He's going to evaluate us. So be watchful. And then the second responsibility here is to be sober. I want to focus on that just for a few moments. What does it mean to be sober? Well, you know, we use that word today for people that are you know, not under the influence of alcohol or drugs. They're not under the influence of some kind of mind-altering substance. They're sober. And, of course, it does apply to that as well. But this word has the idea of to be in control of one's thought processes. It has to do with the mind. To be in control of your thoughts. To not be in danger of irrational thinking, to be sober-minded, be in control of your thoughts. How can we be sober? How can our thought processes be out of control? Obviously you got to start with the drugs and the alcohol, that's one area that can certainly have an influence on us, on people, and the Lord's command to us in light of coming events is to be in control of our mind, and to not allow other things to take control of our thought processes. And of course, drugs and alcohol, they do that. That's not the only thing. We have this thing called the media, and they try to influence our thoughts and take control of our thought processes. And whether liberal or conservative, it's there, and it's really easy to kind of, if that's really your thing, to really to allow your mind really to be controlled by all these voices. And and so sometimes you just have to turn off the news and not worry about what is going on. And of course we need to pray about it, but there's a point where it's taking over our thoughts and our minds. And the whole technology industry, video games, of course, things like that, social media, it influences your thought processes. It does. It can sap your thoughts, sap your mind, and you don't have anything left for other things. And that's the opposite of being sober. Emotions. We can easily allow emotions like hurt and bitterness and jealousy to intoxicate our minds. And those emotions can just take control. And, we're not thinking rationally. We're just allowing those things to direct our minds. And that's the opposite of being sober as well. So we're to be sober. We're to be in control of our thoughts, the thought processes. Then we have a further motivation here in verse 7. For they that sleep in the night, they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober. The unsaved world is just the opposite. They live in the night, so to speak. What's done in the night? Well, in the literal world, you sleep at night. And in the world, that's usually when people are getting drunk. It's at night. They're not doing it in the morning hours, usually, most of the time. But that is where they live. They live in the night. But believers should be just the opposite, because they are just the opposite. Let us who are of the day, we have a totally different character, and we should be completely different in light of the coming of the Lord here in the future. And so that leads us to the positive emphasis here, which is to be prepared, and we might pick it up there again later, but we can just focus on these two commands here in light of the coming of the Lord. Be watchful, alert spiritually, not indifferent to spiritual things. And to be sober, to be in control of our thoughts, and allow God and His Word to influence us. That's what we need to do as we look to the future. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for how it instructs us. We pray that You'd help us to be alert spiritually. Help us not to grow careless and indifferent to the things that You tell us about, to possibility of temptation. Lord, we pray that You would guard us. Help us to recognize that we're on a journey here, and things are going to change drastically in the future. We look forward to Your return, and help us to live in light of that, we pray. We ask that You would help us to be in control of our thoughts, not to let our thoughts run wild and to be influenced by other things that would rob us of any usefulness. And we just ask you for this. Lord, we pray that you would bless our prayer time together. And we ask in Jesus' name, amen. All right, we're going to take some prayer requests and praises. We do have a prayer sheet here, and it's on the sides of the building here on the tables. Should be some over here. But what we're going to do, we're going to take some prayer requests, then we'll divide up. And we're going to try to do that in a way. Or else just all in here. Just all in here, and the men could. How many men do we have? Okay. All right. Well, we could divide up the ladies, I guess. So, all right. So what we'll do, we've been having the ladies over here in the side room. Try to keep that to a minimum number. So how many do we have? 11 ladies. Okay. So how many ladies have a birthday in an odd month of the year? Raise your hand. An odd month birthdays? All right. So that's 4. Okay. All right. So we'll have the odd month birthday ladies go downstairs over here to my office for prayer time. All the other ladies will go in here, and I think there should be room for that. We'll have the men stand here. All right. Prayer request. Anybody have a prayer request or praise you want to mention? Any prayer requests or praises? Let's mention one. We've been praying for Christopher Jackson. He did have a heart surgery. He's a little boy. He's come here several times as Crystal Smith's nephew. He had a heart catheterization. They did a procedure, and he came through that. Fine was the report, so that's a praise, but also pray for him. It's Christopher Jackson. Okay. Any other praises or prayer requests? Yes, Norm.
Thank you for a good and safe harvest this
time. All right, are you done? Okay. Praise the Lord for the safety in the harvest, good harvest. Norm is done. Anybody else? Are you done?
No. I just got prayer requests. Marlene's brother, Tom, is going to have an operation Tuesday. I really forget what the surgery's about. He's not physically, he's not very healthy.
Okay, Marlene's brother Tom, you said, he's having an operation Tuesday. Pray for him. We're also praying for his salvation as well. So pray for Marlene's brother. Okay, any other praises for her? Yes, Sue.
There's a maid at school named Diane. They took her out of my squad Friday. Looked like she probably had a heart attack, so I request prayers for her.
Okay, an aide there, that's at Cardington. She had to go to the hospital, and her name is Diane. Okay, pray for Diane, one of the aides there at Cardington. All right, anybody else? Other praises, prayer requests, Mr. Lewis.
Dr. Stress test coming up Tuesday. Here,
all right, stress test for Mr. Lewis. As he gets ready for knee replacement next month.
Yes.
Stress test this week on Tuesday?
Yes.
Okay.
No, I'm sorry. Tomorrow.
Oh, tomorrow. Stress test tomorrow for Steve. All right. Anybody else? Yes, Pastor Gosper.
The Sharp children that were here last week, we're not feeling well this morning. We just continue to pray for that family.
Okay. Sharp children, they were able to come last week. It's Jeffrey and Desi. So pray that they'd be able to come back and for their family, Sharp family. All right, anybody else? Any prayer requests, praises? Yes, Becky?
Bennington Glen Nursing Home is on lockdown as of Saturday. We don't have any cases, but I think there's concerns maybe someone was in the building that's positive now. So just pray that everything goes well, none of the residents get ill.
Okay, pray for Bennington. Rest home there. They're on lockdown. No cases, but maybe somebody else exposed. So pray for Bennington Glen. All right, anybody else? Anyone else? Yes, Jay.
Thank the Lord for the visit at Mrs. Teresa's yesterday. She seems to be doing well. It was a good visit.
All right, some of the ladies were able to go to Mrs. Teresa's house yesterday. They had a good visit with her, and she seems to be doing pretty good. And so, praise the Lord for that. Okay, anyone else? Any other praises or prayer requests? All right, so just encourage you to look at the prayer sheet here. Of course, we're praying for our country. Keep praying for, you know, it'd be nice to have a clearly legal election and make sure it was. And so we're just praying for that. And so pray for protection as the virus is seeming to be out there. And so just pray for protection for that. All right, anyone else? Okay, so as we divide up here, just encourage you to pick up a prayer sheet if you haven't. There's some over there on that table. There's some on the table out here. And so we'll have all of the even month birthday ladies.